If someone offered you an exotic vacation to a surprise destination, would you go? Now think about that for just a minute. Now there's a key word in there. I said if someone offered you an exotic vacation to a surprise destination, would you go? Now probably half the people that are viewing this would say, yeah, I'd go. You know, I like adventure. I like excitement. But there's another half that would sit back and say, I don't know, because surprises can be good or surprises can be bad. So I want you to ponder that for just a moment, because in our passages we're going to look at today, we're going to look at God's call to Abraham to a surprise destination. We'll be back in just a moment. Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Just a moment ago, I asked you that question that if someone were to offer you an exotic vacation to a surprise destination, whether or not you would go. And again, like I say, there's half that would say, yeah, I'd go. There's half that say, I don't know, man. I'm getting to the point where I don't like surprises. Well, whatever the case may be, you would definitely have to put some thought into it. Now, the passage we're going to look at this evening comes out of the book of Genesis chapter 12. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, over there to the book of Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to be dealing with the first 10 verses. And we're going to look at Abraham. And by the way, yeah, Abraham in the days of the Old Testament was called Abram. Now, I know that may sound very elementary, but there are times when people have asked me over the past, they said, well, this is talking about Abram. What's the difference between Abram and Abraham? They're the same guy, okay? So keep that in mind as we go forward. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to what it was that God asked him to do. So look with me, if you would, Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had together, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Cana. So they came to the land of Cana. Verse 6, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Tiberith tree of Moriah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountains, to the mount east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and with Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Verse 9, so Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Let's pray together. And Father, as we come to you now, again, we just ask that your spirit would move in our heart and move in our lives, and Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, I pray that you will help us to not only absorb your word into our head, but Lord, that it would trickle down to our heart and it would cause us to act and react in the ways that are pleasing to you. For Father, there are lessons, current lessons that we can learn today from Abram that we can make applicable to our lives where we are at this very moment. So Father, right now, I just ask and pray that you would give me the words that you would have for your people to hear tonight. And Lord, may you bless the time that we will spend together as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, as we look at our scripture passage for this evening, one of the things that we see is that God had called out to Abraham. He had special plans for him, and he called him to go out of his country. Now, that doesn't sound, on the surface, that doesn't really sound like something that would be tremendous. It's like, okay, well, hey, let's go on a trip. You might be sitting there going, okay, well, I'm excited. The next question you would ask is this: where are we going? Now, when we consider these passages, God specifically called Abram to do something, and he gave him a great promise. Now, let's go back over in verses 1 and 2 of our text of Genesis chapter 12, and it says this. It says, the Lord called him, and he said this. He said, get out of your country, this is in verse 1, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So right there in that particular passage, God says, I want you to go someplace. And Abram may be going, oh, okay, good. Where are we going? He probably was considering or pondering or maybe even asked the same question that you and I would ask. Hey, let's go somewhere. Well, where are you? Okay, great. Where are we going? And the Lord said to him in the latter part of verse 1, he says, to a land that I will show you. In other words, don't worry about it. Just come with me. Follow me. I'll show you where we're going. Now, for some people, they're like, well, okay, not a problem. For other people, for those of you who are the ones who are planners, and I mean, you just have to know in advance, something like this will drive you crazy. Now, I can just see some people grinning and laughing at that statement right now, because you fit that mold right there. You're like, no. I'll tell you what, I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what time we're leaving. I want to know how to pack. I want to know what kind of clothes to take. I want to know what service stations and restaurants we're going to be stopping at. You want the whole kit and caboodle. For you, things like this are a challenge when God puts them on your heart. But God also gave Abram a great promise. Look in verse 2. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Man, that is a fantastic promise that God gave him. He knows God, he trusts God, and God has told him, hey, here's some great things that are going to happen. I'm going to make you a great man. I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm just going to bless you indeed. Now, what you got to do is you just got to go. Go where? I'll show you. I'll show you along the way. Now, we'll probably talk a little bit more about that in just a moment when it comes down to the practical application of it. So, when you consider this whole thing with Abram, why did you think that God did not tell Abram where he was going to be going? Now, think about it for just a moment. Do you think that he was just trying to keep it a big secret? God just wanted to keep this a big secret and just kind of lead Abram around to wherever he wanted him to be and not have him in the know? If Abram said, okay, God, I'll go. Where do you want me to go? And God says, well, I'll show you. I'll just follow me. Why do you think he did that? Now, I want us to consider something specifically for practical application today. I believe with all my heart that God still does that to you and I. He'll still say, I've got plans for you. Here's where I want you to go. And you're going to have a project to do for me, and I want you to go. I think the biggest thing that God is looking for is our willingness to be obedient, to follow him, even when we don't have the whole story, even when we don't know how it's going to turn out. And the reason I say that is because most of the time, if we know how it turns out and we know what we're going to face down the road, we would never have made the journey to start with. One of the things that I recalled as I was reading this is the time when Israel exited Egypt. They were following Moses. And I also remember too that God told him, it says, on your journey, you're not going to go the straightest path. When you were leaving here, if I told you, where you were going, you would take the main road and you would go down this way. But the problem is you're going to encounter some heavy resistance along the main road. And because of that heavy resistance, you will be more than prone to turn back. You want to go back to where you were. Yeah, that's where we get that expression, back to Egypt. I think some of the greatest things that God has in store for us, part of the reason he doesn't give us all the information up front is because we would never take the first step in that journey to be obedient to him. We would look at the giants in the land as opposed to the land that flows with milk and honey. If God told us everything that we would encounter along the way, there would be things that we wouldn't want to do. There would be things that might even keep us from making the initial step to be obedient to God and following him along that journey. So now I'm not saying that that's the way it was with Abram, but I'm saying there are things that you and I can glean from these scriptures today for practical application in our life. And this is one of them. You know, sometimes God asks us to do something and we're like, okay, God, you want me to go somewhere? Where do you want me to go? He says, I'll show you. And maybe in your lifetime you've asked and you said, well, Lord, why won't you give me the information? Well, there's your answer. If God gave you all that information up front, you'd probably be going, nah, I'm not signing up for that. I don't want to have anything to do with that, because it could be for a multiplicity of reasons. It could be that it's scary. It could be that it's risky. It could be all these different things combined. So if you don't know about them, you are more prone to focus upon God and following him and allowing him to take care of you through each and every circumstance and each and every situation that you will encounter along the way in your journey. So when you think about that, you know, God didn't tell Abram where he was going other than to say, just follow me. You know, my question for you today is, are you following God? Even when you don't know all the details, even when you don't know all the data, you know, sometimes we get a little bit stubborn with God and we're like, God, I'm not going to do it until you tell me what, you know, what the outcome is going to be. And we stay right where we are. We never get to experience God's great blessing in our lives. We never get to experience God using us as a servant for his kingdom. And so I want to encourage you today that when God says, hey, look, I want you to go, a lot of us are willing to say, okay, yeah, I'll go, God. Where? We have trouble when it gets to the where, because we want to know, because we feel like maybe God's going to throw a surprise or a curveball or something at us. I don't believe that's what it's about. I believe that if we knew what the journey was like from beginning to end, we probably would never take the first step to be a part of that journey. Okay. Now that in verse 3, God said to Abram, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, what do you think it meant by that? Now, I want to give you another scripture that kind of, you know, coincides with that. You know, God had a way of blessing you know, his people and blessing Israel. He even tells Abram in this particular passage, he said, those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, yeah, I will curse. Now, I want to carry you over to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 for just a moment. And let's look at these passages. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, let me give that to you in the English Standard Translation. Let me give you these two verses again. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Do you see what that's telling us right there? That we might have that opportunity to come to know Christ, that we might receive the promised Spirit that would be coming. Okay, so God blessed Abraham in an incredible way, and he's still wanting to bless those in the earth today. You know, when you think about Christ the Messiah, that was, you know, this is Old Testament. When we're dealing right now is Old Testament, which was before the birth of Christ. But still, there was that the prophecy and the parallels that we see. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, sitting here trying to make Abraham out to be Christ by any means. But there's a lot of symbolism, and there are a lot of metaphors there in the connection between, you know, what God was asking and telling Abraham to do, and, you know, Christ being the one who would come to earth and die for the sins of all of mankind, past, present, and future. So how did Abraham, now we've got this idea, we've got the picture. God comes to Abram and he says, hey, I want you to go, you know, I'll show you where you're going to go. How did Abram respond to God's call? Okay, this is key right now. And the reason why is because how are you responding to God's call in your life, in the circumstances and situations? God is coming to you in many ways, and he's saying, hey, look, I want you to go. Now, that could be in the area of service. That could be in the area of physical locality. That could be in so many different ways. But God comes to you because he's got a plan for you. And he says, look, I want you to follow me. You know, I want you to go. Our question is usually where. God says, I will show you. Are we walking with him enough, close enough, listening to him to determine where it is that God is leading us and what it is that he is wanting us to do? You know, so, you know, what does Abram's obedience teach us about faith? Now, there's another passage I want to share with you, which is Hebrews 11, 8. In Hebrews 11, 8, we read, by faith. Did you get that? Now, remember, what is faith? The technical definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Did you get the not seen part? I don't know where I'm going. Yeah, Abram didn't know where he was going. He was to follow God one day at a time, one moment at a time. Back to Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, what that passage of scripture tells us right there is that God said, Abraham, I want you to go. Abraham said, okay, where? God said, I'll show you. Abraham said, okay, let's go. So not knowing where he was going, he set out on that journey, following God one day at a time, one step at a time, one moment at a time. Now, God still does that to you and I today. We don't always have all the details, and sometimes we can get a little indifferent because we want to know. And we'll actually sit there and say, God, I want to know what's going on. I want you to tell me what the future holds. I want you to tell me what are things going to be like when I get to this place that you're supposed to show me. And we get mad at him. And sometimes we feel like God's holding back on us or holding out. And that's not the case at all. God is wanting us to trust him yet one moment at a time. How many times, even in the Lord's Prayer, God tells us, he says, give us this day our daily bread. It didn't say, give us this week or give us this month or give us this year our daily bread. It says, give us this day our daily bread. God wants us to trust him day by day, moment by moment, to be in and about his will. The question is, are we listening to what it is that God has in store for us? So we see that Abraham reacted in a way that he said, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. You know, how would you have responded in that situation? Now let's make it modern day. Okay. Let's just say that somebody that you know, love and trusted said, I'll tell you what, let's move. You know, let's just pick up everything and move. Yeah. You know, you'd have a lot of questions. You'd say, well, where are we going? I don't know. I'll show you. I've got a place in mind. I'll show you. Yeah, I know where we're going, but you know, I'll just show you when we get there. How many times have we been talking to somebody before and we'd say, well, you just had to be there? Or you'd say, well, I would describe it to you, but I can't. A picture's worth a thousand words. I'll just have to take you there. I'll have to show you. God wants to take us by the hand. He wants to lead us to that place, and he wants to show us. Are we willing to cooperate with him? How would you respond in that regard? Would you say, okay, let's go? You know, and you might be saying, look, I don't have any idea what's going on, but I know your heart. I know you love me. I trust you. So I am going to follow you down this path. Let's start packing up and let's go. When we start making things personal, we can see where we have a little bit more trouble in following our Lord. You know, a lot of us would say, well, I've got friends here. I'm established here. I don't want to move. Why would I want to do that? You know, I like these people over here. In fact, there's another story that we'll get to later on about Lot, the same Lot that leaves and travels and makes this journey with Abram. Lot kind of got accustomed to a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. If you've read ahead or if you've been a Bible student any in your life and you've read that story, you can understand what I'm talking about. But we'll get to that as we get to it through the scripture. But, you know, when you think about Lot, since we mentioned him, let's just go on over to verses 4 and 5. You know, think about this for a minute. Who was Lot, and why do you think that Abram took Lot with him? Verses 4 and 5 give us this information. It says this. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. There's his obedience. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. All right. Then Abram and Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. Remember, I asked you who he was. He was his brother's son. and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Cana. So they came to the land of Cana. Now, when you consider that, this is basically saying that what happened was Lot backed up the U-Haul truck, packed all of his possessions up, the people that he knew that were close to him, and they began this journey, not even knowing where they were going, not even knowing the route, because the reason why was they were going to be following God day by day and step by step. Now, some of us, let's compare that to life today. Yeah, you and I want to know how it's going to go. We want to know what's taking place in every aspect of it, with our families, with our jobs, with so many other things. We want to know what it's like. And God is saying, I just want you to walk with me one day at a time. You know, I want you to trust me. I want you to count on me for provision, not way, way out. Because see, when we get that thinking that far out, then we start relying on ourselves. We start relying on our own means and our own motives. And God says, I don't want you to have means and motives. I want you to trust me today, just today. You know, he says, I want you to trust me today because tomorrow might not exist for any of us. So are we trusting the Lord? Would we be willing to have the faith that Lot had when it came time to follow God? Are we willing to pack up the U-Haul and follow him? Okay. Consider that for a moment. Yeah. What does this tell you about Abram? This tells you that Abram was one who truly trusted in what God had in store for him. He truly believed that what God had planned was something special, and that the only hindrance to being able to receive that would have been had he been disobedient. So he's sitting there saying, I'm just going to be obedient. I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to enjoy what it is that God has in store for me as we go down the road and as we take this journey. Now, we know the scripture told us that Abram was, in verse 5, was 75 years old when God called him. I consider that. I've used this many times when talking with or dealing with somebody who is classified as a senior adult. Folks, let me tell you something. No matter what your age is, if God has still put breath in your body, he's not done with you yet. You don't retire from serving the Lord. You don't retire from walking with the Lord. In fact, some of the coolest things that God has done, he did with those who were senior adults. I mean, we look at it from both ends of the spectrum. You think about at the birth of Christ, and we talk about Mary and Joseph. They were just in their teenage years. And then you think about Abram over here in his old age, Abram and Sarah. And look at the incredible things that God did. Listen, if you're listening to me today, God is not finished with you yet. And he still has plans that he is calling you to do. He is still asking you to go. And even though we ask, well, where do you want me to go? He says, I'll show you, regardless of what age you are. He still has those plans, you know. Why do you think that God called him when he was old? You know, one of the things that I've thought, too, is that with age comes maturity. Yeah, maybe it was the fact that Abram had had this time in his life and that he had spiritually matured to the point where at 75, God was calling him to a great, great work. That could be part of it. We don't know. We can just speculate. But we do know that the word tells us it has to be important, because the Lord says, hey, this guy was 75 when I called him to go on this journey. Throughout the Bible, you don't always see where God gives the ages of people. So I think that there's a significance to that particular passage where it talks about the fact that Abram was 75 when God called him. Now, I want you to consider this. I mean, you put yourself in Abram's position. God has said, I want you to go. He said, where you want me to go? I'll tell you, I'll show you. Now, imagine Abram going and telling his wife, Sarah, what was going to be taking place. How do you think Sarah, Abram's wife, felt about all this that was going on? I mean, Abram walks back and he goes, honey, strangest thing just happened. You know, I had a conversation with God. We're going to pack up and we're going to move. Sarah probably would have asked the same question that Abram asked, the same question that you and I ask when we get in that situation. Well, where are we going? And then Abram says, don't worry about that, honey. I'll show you. And then Sarah goes, what do you mean you'll show me? And then, you know, finally, if they had deeper conversation, Abram would say, well, I really don't know where it is right now because God's going to show me. And then when God shows me, I'll show you because you'll be with me. she would have probably thought that he had lost his cotton picking mind. I mean, simple earthly logic says this is not the way it rolls. But see, God defies simple earthly logic. God doesn't want us to simply have our way of thinking, our logic. He says, I want you to come around to my way of thinking and my way of doing. Okay? When you think about this, this could actually put some stress on the family, couldn't it? Can you imagine what that must have been like? Maybe, and I'm trying to make this a little bit more modern day, that if it took place where, you know, the husband of the house came home and said, you know, to the family, okay, look, everybody pack up, we're moving. Everybody's going to ask that question. Where are we going? I don't know. I'll show you. When we get there, we'll know. Well, then what we start to do is we start to think in a selfish way. Well, man, I'm going to be leaving my friends behind. I'm going to be leaving maybe family behind. I'm going to be leaving a good job behind. I'm leaving all these things behind. And we get comfortable. Are you ready for this? We get comfortable in our Egypt. And yet God has called us to leave our Egypt because he has a promised land for us. So, yeah, this could definitely put stress on a marriage. This could definitely have caused tensions between, Abram and family members and particularly his wife at this particular point. I mean, think about that for a minute. You just want us to pick up and leave? Okay? So when we consider this, they actually were obedient. They did. So where did Abram go? And what did he do when he arrived where he was going? Well, verses 5 and 6 of our text give us the answer to that question. Verse 5 says, then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had. In other words, they packed everything up, and that they gathered it all up. And in the middle of verse 5, it says, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Cana. Now we're getting where the destination is. They're going to the land of Cana. So they came to the land of Cana. Then verse 6 says, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the Terebinth, which basically that's an oak tree of Moriah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. So we're seeing what's going on. Where did he go? He wound up going to the land of Cana, the promised land, the place where God had showed him. When he appeared to him the second time, God gives Abraham yet another promise. In verse 7, he makes him another promise. Verse 7, he says this. It says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. Boy, there's a great promise, isn't it? To your descendants, I am going to give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Man, that's pretty neat. Not only did we get to go on a new journey along the way, then God says, my descendants, he said he's going to give this land to them. So what did he do out of appreciation? Abram builds an altar to the Lord. Now, I have to interject that because it's not good enough for me just to simply say he built an altar. Because you know what? People in our society and even back then built an altar to many, many different things, but not Abram. Abram built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And we see that in plain black and white in our text. Now, you have to think about this for a minute. Remember we said, how old was Abram? He was 75 years old at the time when God called him. Now, at Abram and Sarah's age, they didn't have any children at that particular point. So, you know, what do you think Abram and Sarah thought about God's promise? It says, to your descendants, I will give this land. They probably looked at each other and thought, we don't have any children, and we're past childbearing and child-rearing age, man. We're 75 years old. What do you mean you're going to give this to our descendants? Now, if God put something like that on you, how would you think? You know, what would you think about that? Yeah, many times people would be just almost laughing. Yeah, it's kind of like, 75 years old, he's talking about having kids. I mean, look, you know, I'm 56, and I don't even know if I want to go through that journey again. It was a great journey with my son and the one that we have, but I don't necessarily think I want to go do it all over again. You know, what happens is we get older, we get set in our ways, and we're not as good as we once were. You know, we fall asleep easier, we're brittle, we break a little easier. So imagine, I mean, this is the first time that Abraham and Sarah are hearing this from God. Your descendants, I will give this land. And they're like, we ain't got no descendants. What are you talking about? So that means we're going to have descendants at our age? This seems just incredibly impossible. Folks, let me just say it like this. God loves to deal in what we consider to be impossible. You know why? I think one of the greatest reasons that God does that is because man at that point can't take credit for some of the incredible things that God will do. We have to find ourselves in those situations where there's nothing that we can do about it from an earthly basis or an earthly standpoint, because that's when God shows up. That's when God arrives. And here's the other thing. God is wanting to lead us to those places in our lives, but we're stubborn, man. We'll grab a hold of things and we won't want to let go. We don't want to go. And when we do and we start to encounter resistance, we want to run back to Egypt. Folks, I'm begging you, trust God one day at a time. One step at a time. He's got a great and exciting journey for each and every one of us. And he's not going to give us all of the information up front, but he wants us to enjoy the ride as we walk with him daily. Are you prepared for that? You know, some of us have wasted a lifetime not following God's lead when it comes to that. Listen, make today the day that changes, okay? Remember I've said that as we do our Bible studies, I ask you to look for examples to follow. Here is a great example to follow. Be like Abram and Sarah. Be willing to follow the Lord no matter where, no matter what the circumstance, and even when you don't have all of the information, you know? As we look at this, it talked about there was a famine in the land. We can learn so many things, you know, from Abram's example that we can follow in our lives that are still pertinent today. Because, I mean, so many people will say, well, that was in the Old Testament days, and, you know, that was a whole lot different. Man, the concepts are still the same. Are you following the Lord one day at a time, one step at a time? Do you have the faith to step out and to trust him? And what we want to do today, we want to pray for one another that we will follow God's will, even when it's difficult. You know, we certainly don't want to put ourselves in difficult situations, and that's why we tend to stay where we are. But we need to be willing and ready to follow God's will, even when it's difficult, even when it will lead us into situations that seem difficult for us. And we'll do that in just a moment, okay? So for this week, as we're continuing our journey through the Old Testament, I want to go ahead and give you this week's Bible passages that we'll be reading. Remember, five chapters, one chapter a day. Don't read ahead. Don't try to cram it in. Let the Lord speak to you through each day and each chapter as you go through it, okay? So the Bible readings for this week are going to be Genesis chapter 13 through Genesis chapter 17. Once again, Genesis chapter 13 through Genesis chapter 17. Okay, next week, we're going to look at God's covenant reaffirmed out of the book of Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 21. Just as a couple quick reminders, don't forget we have choir practice on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 right here at the church. If you sing in the choir, you want to sing in the choir, I'm sure they would love to have you join them at 6:30 on Wednesday evening for choir practice. Also, don't forget, we have Sunday Bible study for adults and children at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and our worship services are at 10:45 a.m. on Sundays in our sanctuary. We would love to have you join us. If you're in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina community, which is right adjacent to the Greensboro, North Carolina area, we would love to have you come and visit with us, and prayerfully God will lead you to be a part of our family here. But if not, we thank you for taking the time and the opportunity to tune in to draw closer to the Lord as we go. Now, before I pray, remember I asked you a question to start with. The question that I ask you to start with is, what if somebody came up and offered you an exotic vacation to a surprise destination? Would you go? I believe right now that God is offering us an exotic trip to a surprise destination. My prayer is that for each and every one of us, that we would truly be willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm ready to go. Could you do that today? Let's pray for one another as we end our Bible study this evening. Father, as we come to you, we're thankful for the fact that, Lord, even though we might get frustrated at times with not having all the information that we feel like we need, we're grateful, Lord, that you don't give us that, because if you did, we would probably be afraid to take the journey. But Lord, I'm grateful that you say, I want you to walk with me one day at a time, one step at a time. Help us, Father. Give us the courage to put our hand in yours to take that journey to see some of the incredible things that you have planned for us. I love what you said in this particular passage to Abraham and Sarah. This land, this land that flows with milk and honey. Someday it will be your descendants. Lord, you said a whole lot when you said that to Abraham and Sarah. And today you say the same thing to us. Are we faithful enough and willing enough and obedient enough to take your hand one day at a time, one step at a time, and go on the greatest journey that we could ever, ever imagine? Lord, I pray that if not, that you would give us strength and hope and grace as we attempt our best to follow you into the unknown, to the great destination that you have for us. Lord, for those that are willing, those that are saying, hey, Lord, let's go. I'm excited. Let's jump on the journey. I thank you for them. Lord, may we take some lessons from them in our everyday lives as we seek to follow you wherever you lead us. Lord, I pray you'll give us a good week. Send us to somebody that needs some encouragement. And then, Lord, give us the strength and the grace to be able to share your love with them and the reason for the hope that lies within us and your salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to purpose to find those divine appointments that you've already got set out for us. Lord, we look forward to being able to gather in your house once again as your body, as your children, that we might grow from your word, that we might grow from one another, that we might be prepared to take on society in a way that pleases you. So, Father, until then, until we have the opportunity to see you, may we be found truly faithful and obedient to your will and your call, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, God bless you. I hope you have a great week.